Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number two on the early line. There is so much to get to here all across the Sports Grid Network. He is Donnie. I am Ben. One final look back on the final major championship this year in men's golf. That was the Open over the weekend at Royal Troon before we preview Paris Olympic golf starting next weekend. Keith Stewart will join us in just a few minutes to do that. Plenty of Major League Baseball conversations coming your way throughout this show. The Pitching Ninja on the program for the first time in a while later on in this second hour. But Donnie, we start with football. 28 of 32 NFL teams reporting to training camp by the end of today, with the final four to make it an even 32 at the end of tomorrow. The Bengals at training camp as of today, and Bengals president Mike Brown on a potential contract extension for wide receiver Ja'Marr Chase. We teased this as we headed in to our second hour with your reaction. This is the quote in full. Quote, "It's not so likely that this is the good time to negotiate. The offseason is a better time for that, and we're going to try to keep focused on the football part. I'm not going to rule anything out, but I will tell you that the die has probably been cast." End quote from Mike Brown. Again, the Bengals send their veterans to camp today, officially ending the offseason for Cincinnati. Did Mike not know that at the end of the Super Bowl in the middle of February through today, that's considered the offseason? Donnie, right side, once again, the floor is yours.
I'm like, you know, as I was expecting out of that quote here to be included in there, you'll like this, Ben. A pint of blood costs more than a gallon of gold. Like, why isn't that included somewhere in that tweet? It's from Mike Brown at this point here, because it was so ludicrous that you have to sort of scratch your head and say, what is he actually saying? Now, before I get there, too, hey, Joe Burrow, love you. You are a fantastic quarterback. You're going to do big things in the NFL. Heck, you might even be an MVP and or win a Super Bowl in your time with the Bengals. But I got to tell you this. You're a really bad teammate. And you might say, Don, that's not fair to say that. Like, he works hard and he gets injured, but yeah, he's worth that money. And he is. But how about this? You know who makes you your money, Joe Burrow? Sure, it's a great offensive line. Don't get me wrong there. But the wide receiving core, where I haven't heard you one time say, boy, T. Higgins got to get paid out here. Ja'Marr Chase, you got to get paid out of here. Is he just fine being a company man and saying, I got my money and I'm just going to stay out of it at this point? It is your job as the leader of that football team to stick your neck on the line and say, hey, Mr. Brown, I understand you paid me here. You got to pay these guys. Like, this is my core for the next day. You want to win Super Bowls? They got to be paid. And also, it's not as if they underperform. They are two sensational, young, talented wide receivers that core is able to maybe mature over the next couple years and do monster things. I can't believe I haven't heard anything from Joe Burrow. Take the press conference. As training camp starts today, my one goal is that both of my wide receivers get paid. That's all I care about, and I'm advocating for them. I haven't heard anything from that. But now let's get back to Mike Brown being the owner of the Cincinnati Bengals. the way you just handled the T. Higgins situation. Love T. Higgins. He's great. Not going to negotiate with you. You're going to play under this franchise tag, and you're going to like it, which means play for me this year. I'm not even going to offer you a contract when that is up. And then you come back and say, well, Jamar Chase is one of the most important things in this franchise. We have to get this guy taken care of, but that's more of an offseason thing when you just had an offseason. And you know Chase is eligible for an extension, so now you're going to have T. Higgins going, hoping to blow my knee out, and Jamar Chase going, I can't believe this guy isn't paying me now and expecting me play on this salary when all my best friends in the same boat are absolutely buying boats themselves because of how much money that they actually have. You can't play an offseason worse. The talent is there to do big things in Cincinnati, but the management holding the carrot over these players going, ha ha ha, not this year, buddy. You'll eventually get it. This is ridiculous what the Bengals are doing.
It's bad business, and it could lead to bad football. If you are Jamar Chase right now, you're like, what is that quote, brother? Look at a calendar, please. What happened in March, in April, in May, in June, and most of July before we started? Just say you're not going to pay me, and we can have this conversation again come next March. Now, Jamar Chase, 3 years in the NFL, more than 1,000 receiving yards each and every year. Offensive Rookie of the Year back in 2021 at the wide receiver spot. More than 1,400 yards, 13 receiving touchdowns. Jamar Chase has been a Pro Bowler all 3 years. The good thing for Cincy, from the organization perspective, it's not like Jamar Chase becomes a free agent at the end of this year. The team picked up his fifth-year team option before this offseason got underway, before year number four. He is under contract for two more years. But that's why it doesn't make fiscal sense. You know that Jamar Chase is going to rival, if not surpass, the number that Justin Jefferson set as the highest paid wide receiver in the history of the NFL, the highest paid non-quarterback, 4 year, $140 million, $35 million per year. You know that's going to happen. That's probably the bare minimum you can pay Jamar Chase. So do it now and average it out over the final 2 years of his rookie deal, and then it's not so bad. It's what Miami did with Jalen Waddle, who is the fifth highest paid wide receiver in the NFL. Is he a top five wide receiver like Jamar Chase or Justin Jefferson or Amon-Ra St. Brown or Tyreek Hill or A.J. Brown? Probably not. Is he darn good? Yes, but you paid Waddle now to make it more friendly to the organization over the final 2 years on average of his rookie deal. You want to run a front office someday?
I do. You put me on, and again, like, we're looking at the Bengals overall, and when you talk about running the front office, like, it's the Brown family is running everything. There is, like, I honestly believe, like, deep down, Mike Brown sitting in his office going, like, man, you know what would be great if Jamar Chase was terrible this year, and we can save a lot of money trying to renegotiate with him next year, as opposed to saying, what happens if Jamar Chase goes out this year with a healthy Joe Burrow for 17 games and puts up 1,800 yards and 16 touchdowns? I can't wait for that negotiation when he goes, you know what, you could have had me last year about $27.5 million a year, now I want $37.5 million this year. Yeah. And also, from a negotiations tactic, if you're an agent of Jamar Chase, you just watched how T. Higgins was handled here by saying, you're going to play out your contract, then I'm going to tag you, then I'm going to wish you luck. Not secure on that. So when Mike Brown says, I really can't wait to sign Jamar Chase, what does he actually mean? You're going to sign at my price and I got you still for two more years, then I can tag you on top of that? It's such a bad business because, again, if you're being smart with your money, you pay the guy now. If he has a good season, that contract is going to be $40 million more expensive next offseason than it is right now. So it's being a terrible businessman unless you're saying, I'm going to make money regardless of what my payroll is. If I keep it low and Jamar Chase isn't good this year, I can reap it, which is the complete wrong. You hope Jamar Chase gets 2,000 yards. And you know why he gets the 2,000 yards? Because you already paid him. And you don't have to renegotiate for 4 or 5 years down the road. Just horrible. Business 101, an absolute fail for the Brown family and the Bengals.
You know how much fervor and passion we have behind this topic? Here's another indication of it. We're not even talking Big Ten media days. His talking season begins today in Indianapolis for the Big Ten. And some folks call me Big Ten
there.
Ben, but we'll get
there.
To the Big Ten. Stop it. We'll get this is why you're off the show for the final
Are
6 minutes.
This?
It's not for a radio
nobody's
change. It's because
this.
I put my foot down. We'll talk Big Ten a little bit later on. ACC media days beginning yesterday in Charlotte. And there's been so much rumor and speculation around the future of Clemson and Florida State within the ACC. ESPN's Pete Thamel yesterday have been told by multiple sources that there's no expectation for FSU or Clemson to notify the ACC. They intend to leave by the August 15 deadline to depart after the upcoming year. That's the deadline to declare intentions to exit for the 2025-26 season. Clemson, Florida State, at least it seems, Donnie, remaining in the ACC this year and next year, at least to start.
Yeah, here's what I want to see, too. Hey, Florida State and Clemson, I hope you get what you wish for. I hope both of you go to the SEC. We will never hear from you ever again in any sport that you have. You should thank your lucky stars you're in the ACC so you can actually compete and make a playoff. Get to the SEC and lose 5 games a season, Florida State football. Be careful what you wish for.
But it's not about competition, of course. It's about the TV money. Open Championship recap next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
One final look back at the final major championship this year in men's golf. It was the Open Championship for the 152nd time this past weekend and week at Royal Troon in Scotland. Keith Stewart was here to preview the event. Now we look back at Xander Schauffele's triumph for the second time in 4 majors this year in golf. Xander Schauffele is a major champion. All that Keith took away from the Open at Troon here on the Early Line on this Tuesday. Keith, we appreciate the time. Thanks for being here on this Tuesday morning.
Ben, Donnie, good morning. And boy, I tell you, talk about a guy who's transformed himself in 2024. X going to give it to you, man. Xander Schauffele, unbelievable. Always spoken about, you know, negatively, that he couldn't close the door on a Sunday. And now a PGA champion with a 65 on Sunday at Valhalla, birdie putt on the last to win, and now a 65 on Sunday at the Open Championship at Royal Troon to close the door on the competition there, and that amazing 31 on the back nine. Completely impressive what this guy has done for his career in 2024.
And Keith, of course, you are spot on. The story around Xander Schauffele entering 2024's golfing campaign was that he was always close, could finish runner-up at the majors, but never come through with a victory. Oh, how that has changed here in 2024. 2 major titles in the same season. The 6th golfer ever to win his first 2 major championships in the same year on the PGA Tour. So, Keith, you mentioned how this all has changed. I ask you that question. How did Xander Schauffele change the narrative around his game in major championships?
Well, if you guys remember Rome, there was a lot of controversy swirling around he and Cantley, and did they want to be there? And, you know, a lot of talk about how Xander and his father, Stefan, how Stefan was controlling camp. And then all fall, you know, Xander made a bunch of leadership decisions. And we're all happy to see it. And we're all proud of him because now that he's 30 years old with 8 wins and 2 majors, look what he has done. His dad was no longer his primary coach as of December. He brought on Chris Como, who's done a fantastic job transforming his game. He's made him longer off the tee. He's made him way more consistent. I mean, we're talking about, 17 starts this year, and the guy's got 12 top 10s and 2 majors? That's pretty impressive. So from a leadership perspective, taking control of his career, going into 2024, becoming his own man at 30, stepping away from dad's umbrella, and then having his own new coach, you know, embracing his caddy, who is a college friend, and accepting that criticism and saying, we can do this together. All those top 10 in majors, all that consistency is now really starting to pay off. And you got to give this guy a ton of credit for the decisions that he's made this year, because it could have gone sideways. And to his credit, it did not. And he's following through in historic fashion.
Keith, talk to me about being mentally strong. Now, typically, it's so hard to win a major championship. If it was easy, everybody would do it. Second this season, but just in the Open itself, you had so many different changing conditions being able to hold on because the game plan that you bring in might change midway through and maybe even change hole two or three right off of the gate. Talk to us about Xander Schauffele and what he went through all four rounds there to sort of manage his way through, particularly in the rain and the wind, to then show up in round number four the final day and shoot a 65.
Donnie, it's as simple as this. If you asked me who is the most well-rounded golfer in the world prior to Open Championship week, I'd have to admit that it's Xander Schauffele. You want the longest golfer, it's Bryson, right? You want the best ball striker, it's Scotty. But when you talk about all the phases of the game, right down to the putting, Xander Schauffele is the guy. So if you start changing conditions and creating all these different wind factors, and of course the golf course was changing day to day, whether it was wet, it was soft, it was raining, it was windy, the direction of the wind, all of that just favored the most well-rounded golfers. And of course, Xander's the one. It's just so impressive to me that what this guy's done to transform his mindset, because I sat there at the PGA Championship in the press conference afterwards, and he answered a bunch of questions, and he was very transparent. And he said that one of the things that really meant something to him is that he was sitting in the chair and he felt a lot lighter. And, you know, of course, someone followed up on that. What do you mean by that? He goes, well, you know, let's be honest. He goes, I was one of the players that should be winning majors, and I wasn't. Well, if he feels that much lighter and he's starting to embrace that level of talent and that level of consistency and all those top tens in the biggest events of the year, then this guy could go on a little bit of run. Let's go back about two decades. Remember when Phil Mickelson won his first major championship? It took him a long time to do it. But then once he did, the floodgates opened, and now all of a sudden that guy has six of them. So there's a lot of conversation. Who's going to win more majors coming down the road? Is it going to be Scotty? Is it going to be Xander? Who's going to be player of the year, guys? Right? We've got a guy with two majors, right, in the biggest events of the year. And then you've got a guy like Scotty Scheffler who's got six wins, of which a bunch are signature, and the Players and the Masters. I mean, we have an incredible finish coming to the season because as far as I'm concerned right now, these guys are dead even when it comes to player of the year.
So dead even at the moment, Keith, you took the words right out of our mouth. It's a conversation and a debate we've had over the past 24 hours here on the Early Line. What could give either Xander Schauffele or Scotty Scheffler the edge in who has the best year on the PGA Tour and wins the Golfer of the Year honors?
Well, Xander is the defending champion of the gold medal. But I'm not sure the Olympics are going to play that big a role. We have the playoffs coming up. 3 weeks in a row, the best players in the world are going to be competing against one another in order to win that tour championship. But here's the key. Xander's had seven trips to the tour championship there at Eastlake. In those seven trips, he's had six top fives, and he's had a win. So if it comes down to the last week of the year, and I know Scotty has a huge edge in points, but he's only going to get a two-shot differential starting that last week. And Xander's record at Eastlake is impeccable. So for me, I think it's going to come down to the last week of the year, and whoever takes home that title will be your player of the year.
Because of how the staggered start opens up, Scotty Scheffler should have an advantage over Xander Schauffele, but Schauffele might be able to catch him in Atlanta. We'll have a little bit more on the major championship season in golf, a look ahead to the Paris Olympics, and in the in-between, the 3M Open this week in Minnesota, back on the PGA Tour. All of that coming up in our next segment with Keith Stewart, live right here on this Tuesday morning on the Early Line on Sports Grid. We'll break it down here on TEL on the other side of the break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Although the Paris Olympics begin with the opening ceremonies on Friday, the Olympic golf on the men's side does not start until the following weekend. Keith Stewart will be here next week to preview everything you need to know for Olympic golf in Paris. 3M Open this week near the Twin Cities in Minnesota. We'll preview the event on the PGA Tour in just a moment. But Keith, we had the conversation. Scheffler or Schauffele, who gets the nod of having the best year? Both major champions. wins this season. Scottie Scheffler, the green jacket at Augusta, 6 wins on the PGA Tour, the most we have seen by a single individual since Tiger Woods back in 2009. But Xander Schauffele, now the 7th golfer ever to win 2 major championships in the same season and also finish top 10 in the other 2. American men dominating the major championship cycle in 2024. Schauffele takes 2. Scheffler wins at Augusta at the Masters. And Bryson DeChambeau, of course, victorious at the United States Open. How would you sum up this year, Keith, in major championship golf?
Well, it's almost as if the guys took Rome personally, because this is the first time since, what, 1982 that all 4 have been American? And now we have 7 USA major winners in a row. It's as if golf is in a good place here in the United States. There's no doubt about that. I mean, Xander's been impressive. He's 32 under par in the 4 championships, and only 2 other guys since 1980 have finished top 8 in all the majors. One's Jordan Spieth, and the other one's Tiger Woods. Of course, he did it twice. Either here or there. I mean, it's Tiger Woods. I mean, Xander Schauffele, really impressive. And a couple of the things that I saw coming out of, you know, the Open put a cap on this major season. Number one, Russell Henley was really impressive this year. For a guy that was a middle-tier golf pro out on the PGA Tour, a couple wins earlier on in his career, but hasn't really closed the door lately. He has played some really, you know, like, career-defining golf this year in major championships. And the second thing was is that it was nice to see Jon Rahm be back as a part of the major storylines. He was absent for the first 3 majors of the year. In fact, he didn't even play the U.S. Open, withdrew with an injury. And to see Jon Rahm back on top of the leaderboards was fun, but truly it comes down to Scottie and Xander for this conversation. And it's going to be a really tough one, because on top of all the wins that Scottie has, he does have a Players and a Masters, and Xander just has the 2 majors. It's going to be really interesting going into these playoffs.
Certainly will, but we do have golf this week as well. The 3M Open back on U.S. soil, TPC Twin Cities in Blaine, Minnesota. We're looking at a field that obviously not championship ready, but it looks like Tony Finau at a plus 1,100 is the favorite here. But also scanning down that list, Billy Horschel at 28-1, strong over at the Open. What can we look forward to from the 3M Open this week, Keith?
Well, the first thing we can look forward to, Donnie, is better weather. It's going to be warm out there, and it's going to be dry. TPC Twin Cities is a birdie fest. In the 5 editions they've had there of the 3M Open, the average winning score is 19 under par. So you got to bring your putter, and you got to bring some proximity to the hole in order to get close to the top of that leaderboard. Tony Finau, he's one of 17 players who's played in all 5 editions of this tournament. Now, I loved Tony last week going into the Open Championship. He shot even par the first day. He was perfectly positioned, and then he was perfectly positioned the second day in that windstorm. He shot 81, and he ejected from the tournament. So I'm a little concerned about him carrying the favorite status into this tournament. As far as Billy Ho, I think there's a lot of mental fatigue that went alongside what he went through last week at the Open Championship. I look for a little bit of letdown. Also at the top of the board, you have Sam Burns. You know, Sam Burns was great at the Open until Sunday when he shot 80. So that's a little fickle there. He'll come and go this. I mean, he's a birdie machine. He'll come and go this week with his driver. We have 15 holes with water in play. So I know Ben wouldn't like that if he and I were playing there. So you got to watch out off the tee not to make double bogey. And the last one is Sahith Theegala. You're going to hear a lot of conversation about him at plus 2,200. 3 trips to Blaine, Minnesota for the TPC Twin Cities. 3 missed cuts.
Yeah, not great for that as well, Keith. Billy Horschel, the 54-hole leader at the Open, did finish in a tie for second alongside Justin Rose at a 7-under score. Did you see who has the 5th best odds? Keith, I know it's Luke Clinton, the amateur, at 25-1. I just wanted to make sure DRS paid attention to it. Keith, that's Donnie's guy. He wants to advocate for him to get the prize money when he can. Is he still an amateur, Keith, deep into this summer on the PGA Tour?
He is. And if you want to talk about a story that kind of got hidden last week, Nick Dunlop won for the 2nd time on the PGA Tour at the Barracuda Championship. Was a parallel event on the PGA Tour held. This guy, he's won as an amateur and a professional now on the PGA Tour in the same season. First time did that in all of history. So could Luke Clanton pull it off? I mean, it's been an amazing year for all of these storylines. The PGA Tour, it's rocking, boys.
Keith Stewart, we appreciate the time. More on the Early Line up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Win Total Tuesday, live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid and all across the Spiz Grizz Network. 28 of 32 NFL teams. By the end of today, we'll have reported to training camp in full. Only four more teams we wait on tomorrow, but all four teams in the AFC West have now shown up for training camp. It's a division, Donnie Wrightside, that has been absolutely dominated by the Kansas City Chiefs. Eight straight AFC West divisional crowns for KC over the last eight NFL seasons, and based on the odds, that's what we expect this year as well. Minus 230, the Chiefs 11.5, the win total, plus 350 to win the AFC yet again. Of course, Kansas City has won the AFC four of the previous five seasons. But there is some interesting storylines entering the AFC West. Jim Harbaugh, it is his first year in Los Angeles. The commander of the Chargers now, the leader of the Bolts. 8.5 the win total for L.A. Antonio Pierce, the former interim head coach in the desert, now the permanent head man for Las Vegas. 6.5, though, the win total for the Raiders. Can they use their inspiration of Antonio Pierce to end out last year for a successful 2024 campaign? And the Denver Broncos bring up the rear. After a disastrous two-year run under Russell Wilson in Denver, it's year number two for Sean Payton as the head man in the Mile High City to figure things out. But 5.5 the win total for the Broncos, and it's not an overly optimistic picture this season in Denver. What is your overall evaluation, DRS, of the AFC West entering 2024?
It's pretty simple. Two of the teams have really good quarterbacks. That's the Kansas City Chiefs and the Los Angeles Chargers. The other two teams, the Raiders and the Broncos, don't have very good quarterbacks. So that's where you see the separation here at the FanDuel Sportsbook, with the Raiders at a 9-1 price to win that division, the Denver Broncos at a 20-1 price to win the division. But let's focus here on Kansas City. And I can't stress this enough. You're not supposed to be good for a long time in the NFL, because just based on how the NFL evolution is, you know, most players don't play 10 to 15 years outside of dominant quarterbacks, which again is Patrick Mahomes. But players slow down. The salary cap is supposed to catch up with you each and every year that you have a good season. The NFL says, okay, congratulations on your good season. I'm going to set you up with the hardest schedule next year and also give you the worst draft pick of the first round, second round, third round, and so forth. But the Kansas City Chiefs continue to buck that trend. And last year was the year to beat the Kansas City Chiefs. They didn't have any wide receivers. They just had Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. They didn't have home field advantage entering into the playoffs. They had to go on the road and beat a Buffalo Bills team and a Baltimore Ravens team, and then go in and probably face the most talented team in the NFL, the San Francisco 49ers, without any wide receivers that you can say are maybe a Pro Bowl caliber level in the next couple of years. Now they reamped up. You go into the draft, you get yourself a wide receiver. You hit that free agency, get yourself a wide receiver. And now you still have Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. So this year is a better version of last year's Kansas City Chiefs that won the Super Bowl. So you're not, again, I say this as a handicapper that's been doing it a long time. You're not supposed to do this. But how many times can you continually look at the Kansas City Chiefs with a healthy Patrick Mahomes and not honestly believe they're the best team in the NFL? They don't have the best team overall. They have Mahomes and Reed and a supporting cast. That's good enough for me. They'll win this division and they'll run away with this division.
If you don't want to bet minus 230 at the moment, I understand it. If you don't want to eat the chalk and bet the shortest price to win the AFC or a Super Bowl, plus 350 to win the conference, a 6-1 number to win Super Bowl 59, I guess I understand. But based on history, Kansas City with a healthy Patrick Mahomes is going to at least play in the AFC Championship. 6 years with Mahomes as the starter dating back to the start of 2018. KC has played in the AFC title game. Up until last year, Kansas City had hosted the AFC Championship game in Arrowhead. That was one of the question marks around Mahomes' postseason resume. Could he win on the road? He goes to Buffalo. They knock off the Bills. He goes to Baltimore. They knock off the Ravens. They win their third Super Bowl in the last 5 years. No team team has ever won three consecutive Lombardi trophies in the history of the National Football League. So I get maybe some hesitation in betting Kansas City's price to win it all once again. But I think the idea, Donnie, that Kansas City falls off, that the Chiefs do not win the AFC West or factor in the postseason, this is the year you predict KC to go 8-9 or 9-8, more than likely not going to happen, because in the six seasons with Mahomes as the starter, only last year was the year they did not win 12 regular season games at bare minimum. They finished with 11 under the win total entering 2024 of 11.5, but the over has the slight bit of juice for Kansas City. And I think the idea, Donnie, that the Chiefs would not stand atop the perch of the AFC West once again might have been an enticing conversation entering 2022 or maybe even last year in 2023. Not so much this year, because who's going to hold KC back from that top spot? Is it Jim Harbaugh in his first year in L.A.? Is it the Broncos with a win total of 5.5 and a rookie quarterback under Sean Payton, more than likely in Bo Nix? Is it the Raiders with Antonio Pierce? The Chiefs should make it a perfect 9-9 in terms of divisional titles within the AFC West.
Absolutely, and they will again. As long if you have a crystal ball, and I don't care who else is playing for the Chiefs other than Patrick Mahomes, if he plays 17 games this year, there is no way that the Chiefs are not going to win that division. You might have had a different argument out of me, because obviously when you have a regime change, like we saw with the Chargers, I think they finally got the coach that's going to be able to help them compete over the next couple years. That's the key term, over the next couple years. He's rebuilding that franchise. He didn't come in and say, you know what? This team is really talented. Let me do a one-year evaluation. Give me those same players. Let me see if I can turn up the gas. Because you have the wide receivers. You have the running backs. Now you completely flipped it on a head where Harbaugh's instilling what he wants out of the future, which usually doesn't equate to success right out of the gate. I do believe that Herbert is going to be a very good quarterback over the length of his career. But I do think he has to understand what Harbaugh wants out of him, and also getting that roster, what Harbaugh wants that to be over the next couple years. And again, the NFL, you can have a quick rebuild. You might have a decent season this year. The next year, maybe the Chargers will be looking towards Super Bowl contenders. The Vegas Raiders, come on, Gardner Minshew is going to lead that. We already know how unhappy probably, you know, Devontae is going to be out there immediately if they start the season. 1-4, 1-5 is going to look to try to get out of town. Yeah. If you take a look at the Denver Broncos, complete rebuild mode. So this isn't what we anticipated over the past couple years. Like, hey, man, Chargers are really good. Vegas got a decent vibe. The Denver Broncos with Russell Wilson, they can challenge the Chiefs. This might be one of the easiest years for the Chiefs to win that division, which, again, it's so Patriots-like here for us, Ben. The reason I bring them up is how many times do we see an easy division to win? We're like, come on, man. Somebody at least challenge him. They get six free wins every single year in the division. Of course they're going to be a one or two seed every single year. That's what you're going to get once again out of the Chiefs. Just by default, they should win 12 games and be possibly another number one seed this year, home at Arrowhead for the holidays.
DRS, you would expect Kansas City having won the Super Bowl for a second consecutive season, the Chiefs being the notable team around the NFL, the schedule would be difficult with that first place landmark. Not necessarily the case. Warren Sharp, our lead NFL analyst here on Sports Grid, and his analytical team does a great job of predicting strength of schedule based on your opponent's projections, their win totals for the upcoming year, all the things that are used, the handicap games and the odds makers use to set lines, rest advantage, disadvantage, travel, all of that good stuff. The Chiefs, the 12th easiest schedule in the National Football League. We'll talk about the Bolts a little bit later on. The Chargers have the second easiest schedule in the NFL, according to Sharp Football Analytics. And Jim Harbaugh is a winner. He is a program. He is an organization builder. 8.5 is the total for Los Angeles. The over, a slight bit of juice. Can the Chargers have a winning record in 2024? And would 9 wins be enough to be an AFC playoff team? We'll have that debate a little bit later on to end out our second hour. But up next, we get schooled on the bump. The pitching ninja, Rob Friedman, joins us next on TEL.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on this Tuesday on the Early Line on Sports Grid. It's been a while since one of our favorite guests has been here on the Early Line, but Rob Friedman is back. On behalf of FanDuel, the pitching ninja joins us here on this Tuesday. A great pitching slate on this Tuesday in Major League Baseball. The three front runners to win a National League Cy Young Award on the mound. And of course, we look back on a relatively full Monday in MLB as well. Rob Friedman, we appreciate the time. Thank you for being here on this Tuesday morning.
My pleasure. I'm fired up.
We are very glad to have you here. Last week out in Arlington at the All-Star Game on the red carpet. Today on the Early Line. Oh, the things you can do in the span of only a week. Rob, yesterday on the bump in Cleveland, it was the American League Cy Young frontrunner in Tarek Skubal for the Detroit Tigers. The Tigers get a victory. They have won a ton of baseball games as of late, 12 of their last 16, and Skubal registers the win yesterday. Seven innings of work, only allowing a single earned run, but did give up 10 hits. Bend but do not break yesterday for Skubal against the Guardians. What's the best thing about Tarek Skubal and his arsenal each and every start that he makes?
I mean, dude is an absolute bulldog. His probably his best pitch, even though he can throw like 100, 101, is his changeup. His changeup is disgusting. But it's really like, I thought yesterday didn't have close to his best stuff. Faced a lineup that had a great plan against him, gave up 10 hits, which I think was a career high, and still got the win and only gave up one run. Like, just outstanding stuff.
He's been tremendous this year. Take a look at, fourth in the league with wins, second in the league with ERA, third in the league in strikeouts, second in the league with walks and hits to innings pitch, and also the favorite to win the Cy Young. Let me ask you this question. Pitching is so hard to come by, and a young pitcher, what I mean by that, still in their 20s, right in the middle of their prime, he is made available at the trade deadline, which baffles me from Detroit here. Do we think he's going to be on the move? And also, what's a good landing spot you feel for Tarek Skubal at this point?
Well, I mean, if I'm the Tigers, it's going to take a lot for me to give up Tarek Skubal. He is the best pitcher in the AL. He just flat out is. Maybe the best pitcher in baseball. So for me, it's going to take a ton of prospects. And, I'm looking at the Orioles. The Orioles have a ton of prospects. Mm. And if you add him and Corbin Burns, like, forget it. That might be the best team in baseball at that point.
Right now, those are the two favorites to win the American League Cy Young, the only two guys with a three-digit price. Skubal, the favorite, at minus 135. The number might be even greater if there wasn't a fear he could be traded to an NL club. If you're in Detroit, get mad if they trade Skubal. They've won 12 of their last 16. They're only a game below 500 at this moment. But, Rob, one of our bits on this show is every day Paul Skenes gets a start in Major League Baseball, we mark it down as historic. It is Skenes Day number 12 in the history of MLB. At home today in PNC Park, the Pirates and Skenes, a hefty favorite against the Cardinals. Rob, what is your expectation personally every time Paul Skenes gets a start?
I love you setting it up that way because you never know what you're going to see when Paul Skenes starts. You're probably going to see something you've never seen before just because I don't think we've ever seen a talent like this before. Physically talented, mentally talented, command off the charts. Like, dude is an absolute stud. And I think he's underhyped. Like, you're looking at a generational pitcher, maybe a multi-generational pitcher. Filthy stuff, but big thing up, like, competitiveness and mental game is off the charts. Like, love watching him. Get fired up. This is a guy you want to watch.
Mm. Absolutely. It is so much fun to watch him pitch and also a legitimate chance maybe to be a Cy Young Award winner. Let's keep it in the National League with another guy that'll be up for the Cy Young, Zach Wheeler. And in a franchise that assigned Bryce Harper as a free agent, one of the better free agents they ever had in the history of the franchise was picking up Zach Wheeler. He's been sensational. Before the All-Star break, did have a little bit of that back problem issue. They gave him ample time off. He's going to be on the mound today at Minnesota. Talk to us about Zach Wheeler. Do we expect anything to be different today, or what are your expectations for Zach Wheeler moving forward this season?
I have the highest expectations for Wheeler every time he starts. He's a consistent ace. You're right. He did falter a little bit moving into the All-Star break. I'd like to see him bounce back. To me, he's just everyday Zach Wheeler. Doesn't show a ton of emotion. Just goes out there and pitches at an extremely high level. Always love watching that dude.
So we're going in reverse order in a way. Paul Skeens plus 550 to win the NL Cy Young. Third best number. Zach Wheeler at plus 190. Second best price. The favorite right now, that's Chris Sale at plus 120. Rob, when Atlanta acquired Chris Sale this offseason, they probably hoped he could be a reliable middle of the rotation starter, not the leader in all the bigs, with 13 wins this year in the NL Cy Young favorite. At home today, Atlanta and Sale a hefty favorite against Cincinnati at minus 245. How did Chris Sale bounce back this year, and how has he pitched at this level?
So he's physically been a little bit off the last few years. So he got physically back into shape. You saw some flashes of brilliance with him even last year, but he's just been more consistently healthy. The other thing is, and this has gone under the radar, the Braves actually changed his changeup to add some science to it. It's a seam-shifted wake changeup versus what he was doing. It actually blew Chris Sale's mind. I talked to him at the All-Star game. He was like, I don't know what they're trying to do, have me do, but he threw it this way and it worked. And that's been a really good pitch for him. Like, dude is absolutely deserves to be the Cy Young favorite. Absolutely electric. You know, Skeens has a second half like he did the first half. He's going to get in the running for it, but it's Chris Sale's to lose right now.
Chris Sale, the pick from the Pitching Ninja. Rob, quickly here, 40 seconds left in this segment. Tonight in Arlington, the Chicago White Sox are playing. Only 27 wins, worst record in MLB. But Garrett Crochet is on the bump for the Sox. How much interest do you think there is in Crochet elsewhere around MLB ahead of the trade deadline?
I mean, if your team isn't interested in him, you guys don't know what you're doing. Like, that dude is absolutely a freaking ace. He shoves, and you know, whoever ends up with him, and please get him out of Chicago. He's got to leave. He's got to go to a contender. That dude is a stud.
Rob Freeman, the Pitching Ninja, we appreciate the time as always. Thank you for being here on the Early Line. More NFL conversation next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Win Total Tuesday resumes live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid. He's Donnie. I am Ben. We talked about the Chiefs, minus 230 to win the AFC West, the best for any team to win any division in all of the eight around the National Football League. KC, 11.5 is the win total. They have won at least 11 games in the last 6 years. They have played in the AFC Championship game each of the last 6 seasons. They have hosted the AFC title game 5 of the 6 years. They have won the AFC West 8 consecutive seasons. Of course, 3 Super Bowls in the last 5 years, so on and so forth. But what about the other teams then in the AFC West? Can they contend for the division? More than likely not. Can they make some noise maybe in a wild card race? I think our focus in that conversation, DRS, is on Jim Harbaugh in his first year in Los Angeles at the helm of the Bolts. 8.5 the win total for the Chargers. The over has the hefty juice at minus 154. What do you expect LA to do in year one under Harbaugh?
Be competitive in every game. Like, I'm not going to watch games down the stretch where the Chargers have a 24-21 game, 24-17 game, where they have the lead or behind to falter in those instances. That's the one thing that we've always brought up here for the Chargers. Let's just say the past 10 years or so. It was the head coach not having this talented roster ready to play in every moment of the game, which means, hey, they look good one game. Boy, how could they blow that late? They can't find a field goal kicker to make a field goal. They're making dumb decisions late. Hey, we can get ourselves in the playoffs if we just play for the tire as opposed to harass the Raiders who can actually knock us out of the playoffs. You can't have that stuff. And Harbaugh is going to have this team motivated from day number one. Now, are they as talented as what we saw in the past couple years? Probably not at this point, but there's still some players over there, Pro Bowl caliber, particularly on that defense with Mack and Bosa and Samuel Jr. at the cornerback position. But also take a look at the offense. Yeah. You It starts and ends with your quarterback. And we think Justin Herbert is a sensational quarterback. You figure Harbaugh will get him to the next level. I just don't know if we have the wide receiver talent just yet in order to do that,
right,
and how likely it's going to come together before the season starts. They will be competitive this year. A chance of the playoffs, yes. A chance of the win of the division itself, absolutely not. But this is the start of that trajectory that we expect to see in 2 to 3 years. The Chargers continuously going to be mentioned as Super Bowl contenders. I do believe that.
Yeah, absolutely so, right? That is what we expect. Jim Harbaugh to take the reins for the Bolts and in 2 years' time put them into a conference contention and that position. First year in San Francisco with the 49ers way back in 2011. They won 13 games. They were 13-3. The next year, they won the NFC, played his brother John in a Super Bowl, of course, in 2012. 12-4 the following year in 2013. 8-8 in his final year before he returned to his alma mater in Ann Arbor to take over for Michigan. Whether it's been the FCS level back at San Diego or Stanford when he reinvigorated a long dormant football program, or in San Francisco with the 49ers, or back, of course, with the Maize and Blue in Ann Arbor. Jim Harbaugh wins. He just wins. And there will be a chance for LA, I think, to contend for a playoff spot. Not in minus money to make the postseason at the moment, but a plus money price for the LA Chargers to be a playoff team this year. I think that would be something for LA in their first year under Jim Harbaugh. Plus 118, that definitive number on the Bolts to see the postseason. We'll talk about the Raiders and the Broncos a little bit later on. But DRS, there were no other teams outside of Kansas City that finished above 500 last year. The Raiders and the Broncos actually tied for the second best record, both at 8-9. Las Vegas under Antonio Pierce. He was their guy last year. You could feel the fervor they played for with Antonio, their interim head coach, got him to be named the permanent head man. What will the Raiders do this year, having a win total of 6.5?
They got some talent, but they just don't have the quarterback. Like, if it's going to be O'Connell, like, you're just giving up on the season. And I understand Gardner Minshew can be that veteran presence, and they'll probably be a better football team. But sometimes you do have to have that eye on the future. Like, what's best for your franchise? To go in with O'Connell and say, you know what? I think he has some talent. He still might be on that learning curve, but we got to get him through to evaluate. Or to just go out and say, hey, Gardner Minshew, win us maybe an extra game or two, which might get us into the playoffs, but doesn't really help us in the future of knowing where our quarterbacks are actually going. Because again, getting back to it, there is talent there, but if you don't have the quarterback going up against Patrick Mahomes, you're not going to be competitive in the division. It's going to be interesting to see what the Raiders do 5, 6, 7 games in, and also Davante Adams, if he starts screaming he wants out, then we just go into a complete rebuild at that point.
Yeah, it will be really interesting to see what Vegas provides, what Denver provides. We'll talk about year two under Sean Payton in our third hour, which starts after the break on the Early Line.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Discover the life-changing benefits of Meow Greens for your cat. Ever see your cat slowing down or having health issues and wonder, what can I do to make them better? Well, my friend, add Meow Greens to your cat's food for 90 days, and I guarantee you'll see changes that will amaze you. Greetings, I'm naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black, inventor of Meow Greens, and I invite you to take the Meow Greens 90-Day Challenge. In the first 30 days, you'll see shinier coats and increased energy. By day 60, your cat will have a stronger immune system, less shedding, improved joint function, all due to the live nutrients that you've added to their diet. And at 90 days, they're going to have better digestion, reduced inflammation, improved heart health, and you may even have reduced their cancer risk. Fetch a free Jumpstart trial bag for your cat today. Go to TryMeowGreens.com. Use promo code TRYMEOW. That's TRYMEOW. You discover the shipping. You don't have to change your cat's food to improve your cat's health. Just add a packet of Meow Greens.